The following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the services of Sunday, August 13th, 2017, and is sponsored by Palmer and Susan Welcome.
Good morning. Welcome to Holy Trinity. We're happy you joined us this morning. I'm Pastor Phil Formo, interim pastor at Holy Trinity. We begin this morning with a confession and absolution of sins.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Trust in God's promise of forgiveness. Let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses. Cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we were still sinners, and for his sake, God forgives you all of your sins. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Join me in our prayer of the day. O God, our defender, storms rage around and within us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair. Deliver your sons and daughters from fear and preserve us in the faith of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
The first reading is from 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. At Horeb, the Mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill, and whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Here ends the first reading. The second reading is from Romans, the 10th chapter. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by faith, but the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' that is, to bring Christ down, or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.'" Here ends the reading.
Gospel from Matthew, the 14th chapter. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Well, he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand, caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel
of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord. You
may be seated. We invite the children up. If you would take a note of the Family Circus cartoon, well, you know, that might be what we think at times. There's no doubt. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the risen Christ. Amen. In the gospel that I have just read, there are a variety of themes. This morning, I suppose I could talk about Jesus scaring the living daylights out of the disciples as he walks on water. Or I could talk about Peter trying it for himself and understandably letting fear get in the way. But this morning, I'd like to talk about what Sonia talked about, and that's simply prayer. I'd like to focus on the first few words, you see, of our gospel. Jesus sent his disciples ahead, and he went up to the mountain to pray. If we learn anything from him, it might be the need, the value, the gift of prayer. As he prayed to the Father in heaven, so he served as an example for us. And although I've begun to talk, I would like for us to pause. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for always answering our prayers, but not indulging our every petty private give me. Thank you for winnowing and refining, vetoing and delaying, refusing and revising. Thank you for being God and never less, for freeing us for wide horizons, for protecting us from our limited vision and wayward wills. Thank you for foiling our every effort to unseat you and make one of us in charge. Thank you for keeping it safe for us to pray. Amen. As Sonia asked the kids, likely when we were young, we were taught to pray. At the table, we might have said, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest." At night, we might have said, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Anytime, especially on Sunday, we might have said, "Our Father who art in heaven." At any AA or Al-Anon meeting, we might hear, "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." By example, as in our gospel for today, Jesus showed his disciples the need to pray. Later, when asked, he taught the disciples exactly what to say. And although they aren't the same words, in fact, in Aramaic, the Lord's Prayer begins, "Our Father and Mother in heaven." Sound sort of like 2000, doesn't it? The phrases were different, but the meaning was almost the same. And so we pray. It's as simple as speaking up. There is no magic to it. Times of joy, times of sorrow, times of hope, times of fear, anytime. I'm afraid for many of us it is not the gift we take advantage of. You know, that's what Islam has on us. They're committed to prayer 5 times a day. And the reason? To keep in a personal connection with God. Oh, If we would pray as often, if we would remember the Creator as often. Now, I have to admit, there have been some strange customs over the years that members have told me. And one is this: never pray for yourself. It is more than one person who's come to me and said that as a child, they were taught never to pray for themselves, as if that was selfish. Can you imagine? What a strange idea. The psalmist tells us to be still and know, and then pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for others. Pray for the world. I'd like to share with you two experiences that have affected my personal prayer life. Right out of college, my girlfriend was killed in an automobile accident in the mountains of Colorado. As I flew to Seattle for the funeral, you cannot imagine the peace I felt, knowing there were three church prayer chains supporting me in prayer. Literally, on that trip, on a wing and a prayer, I flew to Seattle. Imagine. Some years ago, standing with my very close friend Tom as he faced the last days of and hours of his life, we prayed. He felt a calm before the deliverance to glory, and I physically felt the peace. The only peace. The only peace that passes all understanding. What has been your experiences in prayer? For me, my prayers weren't answered the way I wanted them. My girlfriend died. Tom died. He was a soulmate of mine. He was the most wonderful, creative young pastor I could ever imagine. Leaving two young kids and a wife. But God was there, comforting, encouraging, caring for me. For years, as was my custom, I would give people that I visited in the hospital a small wooden cross. Now, I am not a woodworker. I always had members of the congregation who loved woodworking. They would bring in stacks of crosses for me. I gave one of those crosses to Tom shortly before he died. A week later, on a cold and blustery November day, I stood huddled in my coat at Tom's graveside, listening to friends tell stories about this amazing person. And as we were about to leave the graveside, Tom's 13-year-old son pulled from his ski jacket the cross I'd given his dad. In this horrendous moment, he smiled. He smiled as if to say, "I'm holding on to the cross. That'll give me hope." 13 years old. Gerhard Frost, a wonderful writer, poet, theologian, teacher, talked about the mysteries of prayer in a poem that he wrote that goes like this. The big examination was over in the sixth grade civics class. That night, she added this to her usual bedtime prayer: "And please, God, please make Omaha the capital of Nebraska." And then Frost continues.
But think, my child, just think. If God would send a state house flying on one child's troubled prayer and change your grade from B to A minus, yes, if God placed us in a world like that, think of the frightened people in the state house and all the perfect papers, unemployed teachers, confused preachers, stationary papers, or perfect papers, stationary rivers, tropical shivers, and an infinite magic mess. Sometimes we might wonder if God is paying attention. Sometimes we might not quite know just what to say. Sometimes we might wonder if there are topics that are out of bounds, things we shouldn't pray about. You know, we can pray about anything important to us, but I dare say God does not care if you get the best parking spot. We can pray for what is important to us, and yet, if God suddenly makes Omaha the capital of Nebraska, what happens to Lincoln? We can pray for what is important to us, but if we pray for a dry, sunny day and the farmer needs rain, what then? Down through the years, I would always begin confirmation classes in prayer. I love to teach confirmation. I did not pray. It was always the kids who prayed. We would first on the whiteboard list all of the prayer concerns. Let me tell you, they have a lot of them. There's a friend battling cancer. There's a friend who's depressed. There's the test tomorrow. And then I'd ask who's going to pray. Someone would raise their hand. You see, I just stood there silent till someone did. And I asked the rest of the kids to fold their hands and close their eyes, as Sonia suggested. Why? To concentrate. And then that one young person would just read off the board and say, amen. You see, I prayed they were learning how easy, how necessary, how comforting, how important prayer is. Whether they trusted God or not did not matter. Whether they questioned God or not, whether they thought God was unfair or graceful, no matter their faith or lack of it, they'd pray. Jason was only 5 years old when his dad asked him to say grace at the table. He folded his hand, he closed his eyes, and he said, "Dear God, thank you for pancakes. Amen." Jason's dad opened his eyes and said, "Jason, thanks for the prayer, but why did you pray for pancakes when you have a chicken breast on your plate?" "Well, I thought I'd just see if God was listening." Is God paying attention? Does God listen? Is prayer worth effort? That's right, yes. Amen. Sometimes I wonder if God is paying attention. There's no doubt about that. Sometimes I wonder, with all there is to do, if God actually listens. Sometimes, as I said, we wonder. 5-year-old Jason wondered if God noticed. Sometimes we don't quite know what to say. Sometimes it's only groans and sighs too deep for words. Sometimes we wonder if a certain topic shouldn't be touched, like making Omaha the capital. You see, God is paying attention. God is listening. God is inviting us to speak up. Listening
listening, inviting. Practicing prayer, it's an invitation. We just can't refuse. Jesus has made a blanket invitation. Come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Listen. Speak. Practice one of the greatest gifts I have given you, and get online with God and pray. For God is listening, God is speaking. Come to me, all of you. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Do not be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Amen. So we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In your holy name, you who have taught us now all to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive all those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you eternal peace. Go in peace, serve the Lord.